You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about loneliness. We're talking about how midlife loneliness is an epidemic in the United States. How, on a scale, on basically the bell curve of loneliness, where there are few people who are really lonely and few people who have zero loneliness, and most of us fall in the middle, just like a normal curve, the United States is 0.3 to 0.8 standard deviations more lonely than our European brethren and sistren. Why is that? And what does 0.3 to 0.8 standard deviation mean? It's as significant as the difference in distribution of heights of women and men. Although they both come in multiple heights, women tend to be 3 to 5 inches shorter generally on average than men. So if that was a scale of loneliness, the United States would be either in the category of men or women, depending on which one you're saying is quote the category that's more lonely. Not associating women and men as being lonely, but the other funny thing about this whole subject is men appear to be lonelier than women. Maybe they isolate themselves more. Today we're going to kind of dig into that a little bit. What does that mean? What does that mean from longevity? What does that mean for standard of living? What does that mean for life? Because loneliness is a symptom of some bigger thing that's going on. And why is it going on more in the United States? Any ideas?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Thanks for watching 90 Day Soulmate. Here we go. So, why does it matter? It's not only an emotional issue, but it's a public issue as well. It's a public health issue. It impacts life's health. It impacts mortality. It impacts chronic illness, mental health, relationships with others. It can be a symptom of or a cause of, because loneliness can create depression, which can then also impact relationships with other people, because you might isolate yourself. You may not be in contact with them as much as you'd want to be. You may just stay to yourself. That's isolation. Loneliness predicts future health as well as financial stability. Why is that? Because the more financially stable you are now, the less lonely you are? Because you can buy friends?
But is loneliness physical lone or mentally lone?
Yes.
Okay.
And the other is it just that Americans like to complain about more things? They're more uneasy about stuff than other cultures, which we'll get into as well. It's kind of an interesting theory. Are people in the U.S. more lonely, or do they just express the feelings of being lonely more so than other countries or cultures? It could be both. It could be also that these other cultures are more connected, that they are spending more time together, that they have things to do, and their way of life and lifestyle is different than those in the United States. Let's just go right down our outline here. So let's imagine a 50-year-old in the U.S. and a 50-year-old in Denmark. The 50-year-old in the United States spends Sunday night eating alone, has fewer community ties, and scrolls social media during his free time. Where the 50-year-old in Denmark spends time on Sunday with his extended family. He's part of a cycling club that he takes, participates in, that meets twice a week, goes out for riding, which leads to better health, better exercise, and a sense of community, as well as less loneliness. Can you imagine that? And now that he's out and about with friends and family, there's something else that goes on. Years later, he's financially in a better place than the person who isolates themselves. Now, I don't want to cross cultures and say the person in Denmark versus the person in the U.S. when it comes to finances. We want to look at somebody in the same country. But the same situations apply. Also, the American faces chronic illness as well as financial stress. The person who isolates themselves or lives that life that is disconnected, loneliness. So how do you assess loneliness?
This is a good question.
So this is a UCLA loneliness scale. University of California, LA, has a loneliness scale, which has items such as how often do you feel isolated? And that's one of the items that's used to scale loneliness. The reliability of this scale is that it's been validated across 14 data sets. So it's showing that it has a robust ability to predict the accuracy of the person really being lonely, or at least having the attributes of living a lonely existence. The demographics of this study were focused on, or actually the 14 that were participating in this, were between the ages of 40 and 65. So what is considered midlife, in the middle. And there's some situations that when you're in the midlife, that people who are in that age category have unique situations that others don't. The explanation of the 0.3 to 0.8 standard deviation is, as we said, comparable for a group being 3 to 5 inches shorter than another group. It's significant. It's not like a half inch. It's the height differences between a whole category of women and a whole category of men. So it's a big difference. It's sizable. It's noticeable. So if your relationship partner scores half a standard deviation lonelier than average, it's like their emotional tank is almost half empty. Do you notice if they withdraw after work or seem disinterested in family plans? That would be a sign that they are in that half a standard deviation lower than the average, is meaning that they're more lonely by a half a standard deviation. They would tend to withdraw more. They would be distancing themselves from family activities. Oh, let's get together for Thanksgiving. Oh, I'll just stay home. You guys have fun. And there's no person on the side that they're staying home from. You know, they're not like saying, you go, I'm going to stay. It's like they have nothing to do. They just don't want to be involved. So it's almost, again, these things are cycles. They're that the loneliness causes depression, which causes isolation, which causes more separation from others, which causes more loneliness. And then you kind of dwell in your own sense of pity for me, I'm lonely. And a lot of it is just in the mind, and can we snap out of it by how we think, what we do, what we believe, who we associate with, where we live, what we eat, what we do? Yes, we can, but sometimes it's more than just snap out of.
Yeah, so I say some people can feel alone in the house with full people, you know?
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't get along with anyone in my household. So question, when one partner continuously feels lonelier than the other, what happens to the everyday connection between the two? What happens to conversations at dinner? What happens to what happens when they want to do something together? What's the motivation to do something together?
Have authentic connection.
So remember, we always go back to old shows, right? So the other show, we were talking about how the phones were causing disconnect.
Yeah.
So now we have phones. We can be doing things together, like physically together, but we can be on our phone. And we can feel disconnected because we need something to keep us busy so we don't think about how lonely we are. We need something to keep us busy so we don't have to try to have that connection with the other person who's on their phone because they don't want to try to have that connection because it's easier to stay in this electronic dream world than it is to be in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to maybe some of the things that are causing this loneliness and maybe more so in the United States than elsewhere.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, and we've done studies or we've read studies about the people who spend the most time, 2 to 3 hours a day on social media, are anxious and depressed. That the people who spend the most time on social media are also, and this is not a one-for-one, but it's tend to be higher prevalence. 60% report being anxious or depressed. That's a high number.
Yeah.
And then a high number of our children are on social media 2 to 3 hours a day. High number of us are on social media 2 to 3 hours
a day. And also the remote work also increased that because,
remote
again,
work.
You are in the one computer almost 8 hour and you lose the connection with human.
And maybe you can get the work done, but what are you sacrificing for that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's more to life. I know some people say, well, I don't want to be in the office. You know, you got to have a home life. Well, sometimes you need a social life, and sometimes the office at least gets you out of the home, especially if you're by yourself, and gets you connected with others. Maybe they aren't your friends, but maybe they are. Maybe they're at least people. They're humans. They're humans? You work with humans?
Mm.
Some of us do. So that was the intro into today's show. What is the consequence of being lonely?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we talked a little bit about it. Psychologically, you have a greater risk of depression and anxiety. Physical, you have immune system. Your immune system may be compromised. Inflammation, cardiometabolic risk. So your systems can be at risk. Chronic illness and mortality. There's a 20 to 30% higher risk of heart disease the higher you have loneliness. And then finally, you can have early death, a higher chance of multimorbidity. So multimorbidity would be you have other things that may contribute to death. So, you know, like where people had COVID, but they had comorbidities or reasons, multiple reasons for why they passed away. They were heavy. They were out of shape. Their system wasn't in good shape. They were a smoker. They were a drinker. They had these four or more things that were going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, loneliness is a sign that you probably have multiple things going on in your life that can contribute to death. One more, on a daily level, you'll have more headaches, more stomach issues, fatigue on lonely days. So, you know, why is that person tired?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't get out of bed. Is it that they're tired, or is it that they're lonely?
And this is you see many people that is a young age and always is tired. So you say, why the people who is supposed has to be more energy and always complain and be tired?
I was up till 4 in the morning and I slept till 4 in the afternoon. That's 12 hours of sleep. I worked, though, 6 hours today.
And I'm so tired.
I'm so tired. So how about this? For an example, a couple. A husband avoids sharing stress about his job. The wife feels excluded. Over months, she develops insomnia and begins experiencing chest tightness. Both see doctors for physical complaints, but the root issue is emotional disconnection. Now we'll go back in time, and we always do this again, is emotional disconnection happens when you don't have trust in your partner, you can't be vulnerable, you don't have empathy, and you don't understand them. And it's a cycle. If you don't have those things, so you don't spend time talking with them, you don't develop those things. You have to understand your partner well enough that you can start to have empathy for them, also then trust them, so you can share things with them. That connection helps you want to connect more and makes you less lonely. So partnerships in this equation, and that's why we're bringing this topic up, is having somebody, whether it's your romantic partner or friends and family, that you can relate to, help reduce the chances of loneliness and thus all these problems in life. Right?
Yeah.
Lastly, do you think loneliness in marriage looks like silence? So do you think it looks like silence when people are lonely, or does it end up in arguments?
Depends on the person.
Okay, but let's logic here. If we just said that loneliness is when sometimes people don't understand each other, they don't have empathy, they can't be vulnerable, they mistrust each other. Well, if you don't understand your problem, if you don't understand your problem, your partner.
Okay, whoop. Thank you. I am the problem.
Well, there you go. No, if you don't understand, so we talked about jalapenos, remember? Is that there's a situation going on in our life, and I don't understand you, so you're looking at that situation differently than I am. And since I don't understand why you're looking at it that way, we argue about it. You know, we argue about this pen, but I don't understand how you relate to this pen. I don't know, like, maybe this pen was poking you for 4 years from an abusive lover. And I'm like, hey, let's get this pen. And you're like, no. And I'm like, you got a problem. What's your problem? And then we have an argument about something, but I don't understand why you'd have that reaction to this pen. So it could be an argument.
Yeah.
Right? Loneliness could be could tend to be an argument or disconnect. So I think it's both. You agree?
Yes.
Oh, it's not an argument. All right. Thank you.
Because I am your problem. No.
When we come back, we'll talk more about my problem as well as this subject on 90 Day Soulmate. Be right back. Victoria experiences the past, present, and future while sleeping. Will she be able to decipher the mystery of the symbols, messages, and images of her dreams before it is too late? Discover the lives she lives while Victoria dreams.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. We're back on 90 Day Soulmate talking about loneliness, talking about depression, anxiety, health, wealth, and something else. We talked about how the United States has more loneliness, self-reported loneliness, than Europe. Not only that, but over the years, the United States has gotten more lonely. That studies done in 1995 to 1996 compared to studies done in 2020 show an increase in loneliness in the United States when compared. So 2020, a study was done looking at self-reported loneliness in the same manner that a study was done in 1995-1996 timeframe. And they found that there's a significant increase in loneliness in the United States. So why is that?
That's a good question.
Here are a couple of the reasons. The 2011 to 2014 Great Recession in the United States, that adults who entered midlife after 2011 to 2014 experienced this Great Depression, had lower psychological well-being, they had more illness and functional decline compared with those from the mid-1990s. So those who were entering midlife in the 1990s, when they were questioned, they didn't have these same symptoms. They didn't have the chronic fatigue. They didn't have the illness. They didn't have the problems with psychological well-being that the ones who entered midlife after 2011 to 2014. Why? Part of that could be economic insecurity, job loss, foreclosure, as well as careers that may have stalled and other things that fell apart in those years. So why is there ongoing trauma? Why, you know, in 2020, now that's 6 years later when they did the survey, why is this still a problem? So financial strain, uncertainty, as well as the long-term health costs that were created by people being stressed out in those, in that time frame, that lingered on. So trying to catch up, making payments and do that. So there was a financial stress that was brought on and people felt more stressed out in that time frame. Does that make sense?
A little bit. I want more evidence.
Here's an example. A 52-year-old lost her home in 2012. Even in 2020, with stable employment, she still reported a high anxiety whenever bills arrive. Proof that financial trauma lingers long after the circumstances improve. So because of the problems with paying bills in the 2011-2014 timeframe, now every time a bill arrives, there's anxiety because it's built in. It's like, you know, it's a post-traumatic symptom, you know, so it's a disorder that is created by this. I'm not going to call it something, equate it to something that happens in the Army, but you are training yourself to be anxious because of bills. And now once you are programmed to be anxious when there's a bill, in the future, it's like Pavlov's dog, right? Instead of salivating over bills, we're getting anxious over bills. We open a bill, we can't pay it for a few years. Now we get a bill later on in life and we can pay it because we're making money, but we still have that feeling.
But different countries have finance problems. So why here the finance problem make you alone versus other country?
We'll get into that. That's a great question.
Okay.
Let's not forget that. So let's talk about what the Great Recession was, and then we'll get into how about that question and have an answer. I think it's going to be pretty good. Okay, so there was economic and social significances of the, quote, Great Depression. The recovery was slow. The middle class was hollowed out, meaning I guess more people became poor and some people became wealthy, but the middle class itself just became less wealthy. Trauma lingered. Stress biology doesn't snap back quickly. We talked about epigenetic changes where you can trigger genes which then change your responses. You can also program your brain, right? So your neuroplasticity, your neurons, your brain connections, your synapses, you've created pathways of stress and they just don't disappear. You have to actively let them get snipped off. And the best way to do that is have different pathways. But unless you are actively focusing on the different pathway, you automatically go down the easiest path, which is the one that's been most developed. So again, your brain is like a forest. The paths you go down become the easy ones to travel because the branches and the brush are all trampled. And it's a clear path because people keep walking down it, or your thoughts keep walking down those paths. So next time you have a stimulus, you just easily go down that path to anxiety. And in order to allow that path to get grown over again by trees and bushes and brush, you have to take a different path. And that takes active changes in the way we think. You can't say, I got to stop thinking about being anxious. Yeah. Right? So whatever you...
No, not thinking in the the elephant.
Yeah. Yeah, don't think about elephants. Well, I just did.
Yeah.
Right? So that's one. A couple in their late 40s refinance their house 3 times to stay afloat, postpone vacations for nearly a decade, and still worry about never catching up because their retirement savings got delayed through 2011, 2014, or their 401k became a 201k. Remember that old joke?
No.
Stock market crashed, my 401k became a 201k.
Okay, yeah. A little redemption. Yeah.
So you have to now kind of rebuild. Why do they bounce back financially and others don't?
Resilience.
And what is resilience? Are you born with resilience?
I guess it's part of born, also how you have some situation in your life that you say, hey, I believe when the people is in crisis and problem, can develop resilience because need to survive.
And you know what's a really good thing about resilience is that when a couple work through an issue together, they not only build resilience, but they get closer together. And we talked about that again, that a couple that goes through a problem together, like say we travel on a trip together and we lose our luggage or we get lost or we lose our flight and we have to figure out and navigate a problem. We're stuck on a cruise because of COVID. Something happens and we need to go through a problem together. When we work on that problem together, we see each other's personality in that stress, and we understand how each of us act in it, and we get through it together. We learn to trust each other. We learn to trust our partner's behaviors. We understand them more, and since we understand them more, we may understand how they feel more, which is empathy, and then we may be able to share more with them because we trust how they're going to react. So these type of things, like you said, resilience, as a couple, builds a stronger bond, builds more love.
Yeah.
So couples, sometimes those that are really tight and can work through problems together come back stronger, where those who maybe weren't connected at all can't even talk about the financial problem. I can't talk with my partner about not being able to make a house payment. So I just can't wait for the house to be taken so we can go move to separate apartments.
Oops.
Read While Victoria Dreams.
That's just a real
chapter
history.
In this book. It's real history. Which is interesting because we uncover things about ourselves as we do the show.
Yeah.
Interesting. Contributing factors since 2011. Social media growth. How do you think social media has impacted the world as far as loneliness?
Yeah.
People post pictures of themselves having fun with friends and family and all this stuff, and you think, wow, they're having fun and I'm not, now I'm more lonely. Is loneliness a comparison rather than a reality?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not real. The loneliness you feel is not the loneliness that's real. Mental health treatment is on the rise. Is that a social contagion or is it real? Is it both? Is it we have more clarity on mental health conditions, so now we seek help more often, and more, you know, what was it, 30% of people are on antidepressants of some sort, a huge amount, you know, whether it's anti-anxiety, whether it's antidepressant, whether it's ADHD medication.
Yeah.
Amazing. How about the sandwich generation? Pressure. You know what this means? People who enter midlife are caught between two things. They have aging parents who are becoming more fragile, who they have to figure out how to take care of in an era of maybe less social support than there used to be. Maybe there's less sense of community than there used to be. So now there's more pressure on the couple to figure out how to handle aging parents without having those community ties that might have been there in the past. Number two, the sandwich part, that's the top piece of bread, the bottom piece of bread are children. Children who are more depressed, children who are more seeking out their identity, children who are more confused about what they want to do with their life and jobs, children who have taken on degrees and costs, right? College costs, and they have these huge bills. So you have children who you're trying to help get through that process, and you have parents, and you are now the sandwich generation. Welcome to the sandwich generation.
Okay.
So that was something that, you know, and is that worse today? So going back to your country question, here we go. Mm-hmm. What's different in Europe, mm-hmm. in much of Europe, than in the United States?
Yes, the education is not so expensive like here.
Education's not as expensive, so it helps the bottom piece of bread.
And the health and...
Health and social services are more socialized.
And yes.
Lower costs.
Lower costs. And easier sometimes access. Free.
More time free.
Yeah.
More time, more free time, more time free, more vacation time, mm-hmm. more ability to take care of your parents and family, as well as more socially... more social activity in many of these countries and cultures. Yeah. That there has always been this family culture, and there's always been the community culture, especially in small towns.
Yeah.
Where the United States is...
It's all
spread out in one area, and the other area is just so many people. Like, you've got people after people after people living, and no one knows anyone. You know, my apartment building has 10,000 people in it. How am I going to know everyone from this? You know, my street has a house every acre. How am I going to meet my neighbor? They're so far away. Whereas a small community where you've got smaller homes and they go to one church and there's 15 families, they kind of all know each other.
I see different culture, you know, where I come from, different mm-hmm. country, and I say the neighbor behavior, for example. I see also, for example, my grandmama, she have a neighbor that almost visit her every afternoon. Mm. They got coffee with her. And also it's different age. So it can be a small kid with the mama or the other old lady.
Sure.
Or it's a couple that live there. And Saturday and Sunday, they have some kind of the coffee, because it's more like the coffee or some kind of cake and chair. And my mama, too, sometimes she cooks something. Oh, I invite the neighbor for... We share this kind of dessert because I make. So, and here, so I have 15 years and we moved, I guess, 3 times. I don't have one day busy neighbor or neighbor busy. Oh, so.
There was one when we lived on the cul-de-sac.
Okay, just one day.
Holiday
happened.
Party.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is different, you know? So you feel
You're
really alone.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was an old movie with Jimmy Stewart, and I remember this as a kid, you know, black and white probably movie, but he like would meet people. He would ask them questions and he'd be like, oh, you gotta come over for dinner. And I was thinking about it. I'm going, that like when I saw that, I was like, I would love to be like that. Like, hey, you just meet somebody and you ask a few questions. You're like, come on over for dinner. Let's just have dinner. Without it being, well, why? Why are you asking me over for dinner? You know, just because I'd like to know more about you. That's all. No, nothing else. No Amway. Today. Next yeah. time.
No. So I don't know. Is here or I know a few people, but when you visit somebody, you need to say in advance. Mm. You know what I mean? So it's no surprise visit.
Yes.
So we don't have this culture, you know? So you are one day in your home. Somebody's at 3 people already with a bottle of wine and bread, and you say, okay, I'm trapped.
Well, that's partly it. Yeah. The other part is that there are 500 million guns in the United States, so you just can't show up unannounced.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So yeah. That is a bit different, yeah. too.
So we don't lock our doors, we lock our Glocks.
No, but it's funny because you don't have a bar in your windows.
Yeah, come on in.
Yes, and it's easy to come in, but people don't want. So, it's interesting.
Other countries have bars in their windows, but they invite people inside.
Yes,
that's interesting. Going back to why is the U.S. lonelier than Europe? weaker safety nets. We talked about that. Healthcare and retirement insecurity in the United States. Higher inequality and individualism. So there's strong cultural emphasis on self-reliance, which builds higher inequality. It doesn't necessarily build a lot lower, but it builds a lot higher. So there's greater inequality. And we're always like, we're, you know, keeping up with the Joneses in the United States. It's more about how I am doing. We're more mavericks than we are, you know, herds of sheep. We're horses that like to run free. You know, it's a little different. Decline in institutions. There are fewer clubs. There are fewer unions. Those have been broken in many areas. And religious communities. We talked about that. That it used to be that everyone went to a church. You know, at work, all these people are from different parishes. When they were kids, what parish did you grow up in? What parish? And not being from Philadelphia and not understanding what parishes are, you know, I'm like, are you French?
Yeah.
But, you know, parish is what church parish you belong to, because there are all the Catholic churches in Philadelphia. That community connection in Europe is much stronger. So in Finland, here's an example. In Finland, a 55-year-old might attend a subsidized adult education class with neighbors. In the U.S., the same age person may struggle to afford health care. And they would also lack the community connection. So that, you know, that's the example. Can't afford healthcare versus, you know, the community is sponsoring educational classes for seniors. If Americans invest in more independence, does that unintentionally rob us of independence? Mm. You know, so if we invest in more, let me rephrase that. Since we invest in independence, you know, the ability to make our own choices, the ability to have freedom, since we spend time and money and focus there, does that rob us from these things that would connect us?
Yeah, because, again, if you are so independent, you no bother nobody to help you in any situation, so you be more alone. And we have the example, sometimes we need some help in Spain, and you say somebody, and somebody jump, I help you, I do that, and I do that. So that is because it's different culture, you know. Now we don't want to bother somebody to help you to maybe repair something or found somebody.
But now they expect a dinner, a bottle of wine, a cookout, hang out together, and you're like,
yeah,
you know. But it's odd because sometimes you feel that, like in the U.S., someone will help you if you help them in return. It's like, you know, I'm going to do all this for you, but sometime in the future I may need you to help me. Or we feel there's a big sense, and if you go back to Cialdini in his book Persuasion, he talks about giving something to somebody so they feel obligated to give something back to you. That's a big thing in the U.S., whereas in other countries, it may be people just give things to each other and, you know, I'll help you out.
Yeah, yeah.
No expectation. Mm-hmm. So much more altruistic in other cultures. Yeah. So we'll come back after this short message and finish up our show on loneliness and how we can maybe approach it for better health and better wealth. Victoria experiences the past, present, and future while sleeping. Will she be able to decipher the mystery of the symbols, messages, and images of her dreams before it is too late? Discover the lives she lives while Victoria dreams.
In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about loneliness, the U.S. epidemic, what you can do about it to help with wealth and health for your future. So the need for resiliency, we talked about resiliency and how having a partner that's supportive and connected can help not only in resiliency, but help build resiliency as you get through these challenges together, especially the challenges of being the sandwich generation. You know, the group of people right now that have both aging older parents and children who are going through the stresses of moving from the child life into adulthood. Midlife health predicts old age health and wealth. Health is a subset or connected with loneliness as well. But your health right now at midlife is a direct predictor of old age health as well as wealth, which is kind of interesting. And there's a couple of reasons for it. Number one is that if you're healthy, you're able to earn money without having to spend money on health-related items. One, you work the hours you need to work, but you don't have to start spending money for medical research and to drive to places to get treatments. And so health is very important.
Yeah.
Right? So that's one. Resilience is a buffer. It also protects against social pressure and what else? Stress. So resilience protects against stress and social pressures. The stronger you feel, the feeling of strength helps mentally in the feeling of strength. The mental feeling of strength helps you physically in feeling of strength. So we talk about, what is that called? The cognitive dissonance. You need to feel that you have strength. You need to act like you have strength, and you need to believe you have strength. Loneliness undermines resilience, that it weakens the immune system, it weakens your mental condition, and it weakens your emotional reserves. So loneliness really is a detriment to your health.
Yeah, impacts so much.
And sometimes we just feel we're lonely, and there's no reality to it, but we become what we believe we are, and if we feel we're some way, we believe it, even if there's no real evidence that we're lonely, we may just look at, and again, social media, we look at others and we compare ourselves and say, well, they have so much going on in their lives, I feel like I'm missing it, I'm lonely, or I'm depressed, or I'm anxious. So how about this? What would be tips and tricks for midlife health? And we're going to look at it from a relationship focus, meaning we are either in a romantic relationship, or we have a partner, or we have family and friends that we are close enough to that we can incorporate that in our lives. Number one, mental. Practice presence. No phones at dinner. Wow, this is sounding like that, the phone
show.
One, that show, that show on phones. How about lifelong learning? Read, take courses, and take courses together with friends, with family, with your partner. Learn things new that are interesting and fun, physical activity and mental activity, maybe even religious activity. Example, we can sign up for a cooking class. Beyond learning recipes, we can learn how to cook good foods that are healthy. We can have teamwork. We can both be holding knives and not have to use them on anything other than the food. We can learn that knives are just not a weapon.
Yeah.
Knives aren't a weapon anymore.
It's a plastic.
Plastic knife. No. Physical. Absolutely. So we went from mental, let's go to physical, because we're like kind of following that cognitive dissonance. Let's banish cognitive dissonance. So let's hit all the main things. Exercise together. Walk, dance, sports. Physical contact, hugs. Hugs are physical activity, right?
We practice.
And a 6-second hug or a 6-second kiss releases chemicals within the body that do a world of good, from releasing anxiety to making you feel happy and healthy. We'll do that later.
Yeah.
Hugging, holding hands. Oh, it reduces cortisol. So it reduces the chemicals in your body that can create damage. Husband and a wife starts 30-minute morning walks. It gives them time to exercise together, spend time together, and connected. Leave their phones in the house. They talk for 30 minutes. Otherwise, when they walk for 30 minutes, they walk in opposite directions, even when they're together if they have their phones.
Yeah.
So walking with your phone, with your partner on their phone, even when you're walking together, you're walking in separate directions.
Yeah.
How about emotional? Emotional, you build trust with small signals with your partner. Share caregiving burdens. So we're talking about midlife couples having to take care of parents and children. You are able to share that. So emotionally, you can share the emotions with your partner. Instead of one spouse handling all of the parent care, both spouses or partners can handle appointments, driving them from here to there, and really work together as a team. It can build the partnership and strengthens the relationship. So that's the emotional side. And finally, we want to talk about the spiritual side, because this is the, I'll call it the fourth wall of the whole person.
Mm-hmm.
Mental, emotional, physical, and now spiritual. Shared rituals and faith practices, whether it's praying together at night, going to church, whether it's just belief and talk about a belief, it's wonderment about the universe. It's when you have those conversations that may go beyond, you know, yourself, go beyond the universe, go, well, not go beyond the universe, but go into the universe, not just the physical reality, is you can build a bond there. A couple practices weekly gratitude, journaling, and these small rituals join those two people together spiritually as well as emotionally during midlife challenges. And the triune connection, so the triune connection, the mind, body, and spirit, that your spiritual connection sets a foundation that connects your thoughts, your emotions, and your actions. And it all is basically your rudder for life. And spirit can just mean what you believe in, what you believe in, what are your values. We're going to redefine this a little bit bigger, is that spiritual beliefs guide your values and impact your values. Now, you can have values without spiritual beliefs, but by questioning where you are in the universe, it may open your mind to new possibilities, which may bring you and your partner closer together, but it may also solidify down deep internally your feelings that then drive your subconscious and your conscious thoughts, actions, and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So very important. A family institutes a Sunday unplugged. How about that? So
like it.
Unplug everything on Sunday. No computers, no phones, and
okay,
we'll play Monopoly, we'll talk, we'll do an activity, we'll go to a sports game together, we'll camp, we'll do something together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a barbecue, and we'll just enjoy each other's company. Like, just think about it. Like, 100 years ago, without all this technology, what were we doing? Hey, put that book down at the dinner table. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know? I just read something this morning that one of the countries, they were putting iPads in elementary school, and they found that reading scores had gone down 60% because the kids were just not reading the same way that they were with books. So they've pulled the iPads out and
go back to
books. There's something about the printed word that's incredible. In conclusion, loneliness is not just a feeling. It's a public health signal. U.S. midlife adults are more lonely than Europeans. But action is possible, and we talked about the action. Couples' resilience, intentional connection, and holistic health practices help protect both of us, all of us, from not only future health issues, but help us in wealth issues. So midlife health helps future old age health and old age wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, midlife is not the end to growth. but it's a new launch pad for a well-thought-out plan of where you want to be in the next 5, 10, 15 years. You don't look at midlife as a point to turn the engines off and coast, but drop that one, what was that? When you're a rocket going to space, you take that one booster, the booster's gone. Now, ignite the second engine and go. Determine where you want to go. Use that second engine. Figure it out. Loneliness, as we said, is tied to depression and anxiety. Resilience is tied to being able to work together with your partner. Your present day health through taking activities that you and hopefully a partner, family, or friends can do together can help you with health in your old age as well as wealth in your old age. Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.